Welcome to Special Sauce 2.0, Serious Eats podcast about food and life. Every week on Special Sauce, we begin with Ask Kenji, where Kenji Lopez-Alt, Serious Eats chief culinary consultant, gives the definitive answer to the question of the week that a serious eater like you has sent us.
Yeah, the faster something freezes through, the smaller the ice crystals that form inside it and the less damage it's going to do.
After Ask Kenji, a conversation with our guest, Emily Kim, a.k.a. Manchi, who has been called YouTube's Korean Julia Child.
Actually, when I heard the Julia Child terminology, I didn't know who she was. I'm telling you the truth.
And finally, on today's podcast, a teachable moment from the Serious Eats Test Kitchen.
If you did it well, the omelet will have a smooth exterior with little to no browning at all, and a creamy, flowing center of very softly scrambled eggs.
First up, our chief culinary consultant, author of The Food Lab, Kenji Lopez-Alt. And Kenji, serious eater Kyle Johnson asks, with the best white chili with chicken, is it possible to make the chili pepper base ahead of time and freeze? We want to make this constantly, and eliminating that step would take so much time out of the process.
Definitely. You know, almost any sort of pureed or roughly chunky cooked vegetable thing you can freeze very well. The way I would do it is I would put it into freezer bags, you know, like Ziploc freezer bags, squeeze out as much air as you can from them. So basically, like, what I do is I leave like an inch of it unzipped, and then I lay it flat and I kind of slowly work the air out of that one unzipped corner until the liquid is about to squeeze out, and then I squeeze it shut. Then put it flat on a aluminum baking sheet and put it in your freezer. Freeze it completely flat. This lets it freeze fast. It also lets it defrost fast. It also lets you stack it and store it very easily. But yeah, any kind of sort of vegetable puree, especially a cooked one, is going to freeze very well. So you can do that with the base for a green chili. You know, you can roast your chilies, roast your tomatillos, puree them all, and then just throw them right into bags and freeze them. You could do it with the base for a bolognese sauce. Like you can saute all of your vegetables and your tomatoes together. You can freeze bolognese sauce, or you can freeze marinara, you can freeze soups. And any kind of pureed vegetable thing is going to freeze with almost no loss in quality.
Got it.
Absolutely. That's a great way to get ahead on your prep.
When you talk about freezing things flat, is that so the structural integrity of whatever you're freezing is kept?
Well, that's important for something that's going to lose quality with freezing. So something like raw meat. So for example, if I was cooking, if I had a bunch of ground beef that I was going to freeze, I would press it flat into a Ziploc bag as flat as I can, so it forms like a square, before freezing it, because the faster something freezes through, the smaller the ice crystals that form inside it and the less damage it's going to do. With a vegetable puree, it's not so much about quality. It's much more about efficiency. So flat things freeze faster, they defrost faster, and then they also, they stack more in your freezer, so you save room in your freezer.
Got it. Thanks, Kenji. Kenji Lopez-Alt is Serious Eats chief culinary consultant and the author of The Food Lab. Do send in your questions to Kenji to specialsauce@seriouseats.com. And now it's time to hear more from the amazing Manchi, who has been called YouTube's Korean Julia Child. How do you feel about that moniker? That's kind of cool.
Is it
you?
Interview?
Yeah. Like, how do you feel about being called YouTube's Korean Julia Child?
Actually, when I heard the Julia Child terminology, I didn't know who she was. I'm telling you the truth. I had to look it up.
Didn't mean anything to you.
I had to look it up, and then who's the Julia Child?
That's right, because I read, one of the fascinating things I read was that you don't read cookbooks. You never read
never.
A cookbook.
Yeah, never read. But these days, I read my own cookbook. When I, because
well, you have to read them because you have to check for errors before they go to press.
No, in my everyday life, I'm talking about. So, for example, I make some, some noodle soup. Okay, how much soy sauce I use this? And usually before I studied this, I never measure, just like other Korean moms.
Right.
But because of this, because of my recipes, I had to give them accurate, measurement.
Right.
That's why I started measuring this.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
My cookbook has my recipes on my website is very accurate because I made many, many, it come from the many,
got
many
it.
Experimentation.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's
sure.
why I go back again. And then, okay, so easily I can make this.
Yeah, that's the beauty of the web.
Yeah.
So Your new book, Manchi's Big Book of Korean Cooking, arrived at Series E's world headquarters recently. And we've all been just inhaling it because it's, first of all, it's big. It really is a big book of Korean cooking. You aren't messing around. By the time you started thinking about doing a cookbook, the YouTube channel had taken off, right?
Yeah.
But you didn't have any method to that, right? You were just like, I'm doing this thing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people discovered it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you became their hero. You were like, holy mackerel, like, how did this happen?
Yeah, I never expected anything like this. But after I posted my first video, a lot of people leave nice comments, encouraging comments. Wow, you know, so those guys asked me, gave me compliment, plus also next recipe request.
Got it.
So I kept doing just for 12 years so far. Yeah. And then meanwhile, later just I found out that, you know, okay, they need that. They asked, oh, can you make the written recipe? So I need, I'm sure that I need something like a website.
Got it.
So that's why I made the website.
And one of the interesting things that I read, which sort of, I think, explains why you love what you do, and because you have a very specific purpose in mind, right? You wrote that my job is translating Korean cuisine for a Western audience.
It sounds like already I had some purpose. Actually, it's not like that.
You were making it up as you went along?
Yeah, actually, just I wanted to share my recipes with many people. And because even among the Korean, my friends, they love my version of kimchi.
Mm-hmm.
They love that, oh, how do you make it? You know, all of my friends just give me compliment. So that's all I know. You know, I don't know anything about French cuisine.
Right.
I don't know any. I enjoy spaghetti, but I don't know anything about. But that's all I can do forever.
Yeah.
This is the, you know, not teaching English.
It was just being you.
Yeah, just, you know, that's why from the beginning, very, very easy for me. So, okay, you want the fermented bean paste stew next time? Okay, I make it. You want a kimchi? Sure, kimchi. And so keep making. And then,
yeah.
But while I, by time goes by, I like to make the best of best version recipes.
Yeah.
So I do my many experiments.
Have you ever thought about why you connect so viscerally and so directly to your audience? You know, like some people have described you as their surrogate digital mother.
Oh.
And I assume that that's not something you're trying to do. It's just a reflection of who you are.
Yeah. Maybe they feel my passion.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm really passionate, when I explain why this is delicious, or why I love this one.
Yeah, you're not faking
why you
it.
Have to make it. You know, okay, this is a oily, some fried chicken, but once in a while, you know, life is long. Once in a while, why don't you eat? It doesn't mean that you have to eat every day. You know what I'm saying? So this is a, you know, people kind of, you know, my honest some directions, you know, they seem to enjoy. And maybe that's the reason, but I'm not sure. You know, how do you know?
So you never had any coaching. You never had, you don't have people.
No. Yeah. That's all decision is made by me. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were just following your instincts and just being who you are.
Yeah. 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 Just showing them what I'm doing.
Yeah.
When I cook, honest. Honesty is the best. So
yeah, you just kept it real.
Even though I show them washing scene. When do you wash?
Yeah.
Wash my knife and cutting board. After that, otherwise some people learn from me when to wash.
Yeah.
Because some people who are not good at cooking, they are just keep cooking and later piles of, you know, some dirty dishes. You know, I don't know. That's why I don't want to cook.
So you talked about a wash.
I mean, just showing them what I'm doing. And then maybe people keep saying that, you know, this is very good. You know, I can learn from you when to wash, you know, how to do, also how to eat.
Yeah.
Food is always, I show them how to eat in the last scene.
And I was struck by something you wrote in one of the books about how you want people to eat mountain style.
Oh.
Please define what mountain style is.
You know, when like a soybean sprouts side dish. So we blanch soybean sprouts and then we add some garlic and, you know, some soy sauce and mixture and also sesame oil, sesame seeds. And this is like a everyday side dish for Koreans. Yeah. So this side dish is when I go to Korean restaurant, they give that like a small tiny
dishes where there's like a half inch of sprouts.
Yeah, but people don't know. So people are really satisfying with this. So you can just only two morsels of picks of your chopsticks are gone. But Korean style is the mom is making kind of a lot. So, you know, on the plate, I put this like a mountain.
Right. Know? So it's really mound, M-O-U-N-D.
Mound. Exactly. And it look more appetizing for me.
Got it.
And more, because I was growing up with seeing this Gongnam-ul soybean sprouts. So that's why I love that kind of style. I don't like the really small, tiny amount. Even the abalone, some upscale restaurant. You go to upscale restaurant, they said this is abalone. They slice the abalone like thin paper.
Yeah, because it's so expensive.
When you chew this, even you cannot feel any texture.
You because want a mountain
thin.
Of abalone.
It's like a paper, you know. I wanted a lot of some thick abalone. I want that, you know. Yeah. So that's why that's the kind of a home cooking and then restaurant cooking are different.
So let's talk about the makeup of your audience. You've got almost 4 million subscribers. That's a lot. Who watches?
From everywhere. Americans are most, like almost 70%
is from USA. Americans.
Yeah.
And YouTube generally has a very young male audience.
Yeah.
Is that true for your channel?
Female is more than
male.
But most age group is the 18 to 44. So that means that they are real cooking.
Right.
So those guys are waiting for me to upload my video. So they cook right after I post this. So my community is the real cooking people.
Wow.
Yeah, real cooking people.
So you're the digital mother for all kinds of people.
I don't want to hear the digital mother, you know. It sounds like too old. Sometimes I forget my age. So when I talk to my in their 20s, I feel like 20s.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like
that's
when
the
I
way you stay feeling young.
Yeah, and then when I visited Korea, and I met my old high school alumni, and those girls, now they are like a grandma.
Maybe you're everybody's digital girlfriend.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the new book, Manchi's Big Book of Korean Cooking. What were you trying to do with this book that you didn't do with the first book? The first book, which is, of course, called Manchi's Real Korean Cooking.
Mm-hmm. So my first book has all kind of Korean paste stew and also sauce, soy sauce, and paste, Korean hot pepper paste, and bean paste, all recipes inside my first cookbook. Second cookbook is broad, and more recipe, 150 recipes. And my editor, Rox Martin, she's an amazing lady. She's an amazing lady. My life.
Because really?
Because she made me, make this cookbook, encouraged me to make this cookbook.
She's a publishing friend.
Yeah, with my agent, Janice.
Mm-hmm.
So these two ladies are just very important in my life. And this book is, I just told her, she come up with this idea, Mangchi, we got to make a new book. So first I was no, because I knew that what will happen for a couple of years. I will be living in the kitchen.
Yeah.
I don't meet many people, no time, because I have to focus on making recipes also for cookbook. Too much work. So
that's, you essentially had two full-time jobs.
I was reluctant, but, by time goes by, I decided to, because I have so many things to say more.
Yeah.
So one of the things is doshirak. Doshirak is a Korean lunchbox.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to make this for my family, and I used to make four lunchboxes. Can you imagine every morning? Four lunchboxes for my husband, for my son, two lunchboxes. Actually, second one is a dinner box. In Korea, children studied really until late night, so they had to make a lunch dinner box. My daughter, so I had to make four lunchboxes. So years, I make a lunchbox. I wake up 5 o'clock in the morning. So I told Rux, I can make one, totally one devoted one cookbook, which is doshirak, lunchbox.
Just to the lunchbox.
Yeah. And then she said, oh, how about the temple cuisine, Korean temple cuisine? Even I didn't know much about temple cuisine.
Right.
She said, oh, Mangchi, we're going to make some encyclopedia, like a big book, you know. And then I was just thinking, okay, for the people who really want to learn about Korean,
right,
you know, cooking, maybe first I should make that, you know, some kind of a more thicker
right,
book and more information. And so this photo, but this book is a good thing about this book is my publisher, you know, allow me to post so many photos.
Mm-hmm.
So photos, 1,000 photos I took by myself.
You take your own photos?
Yeah.
Like Kenji. Kenji takes all his own photos.
Yeah, I don't know who Kenji is, by the way. New York Times columnist, you said that.
Special sauce, that's great.
And then the photo, but this book is the difference is that process kind of a direction, step-by-step photo.
Yeah.
I gave them my 10 photos, and then eventually I have to choose it. You are not going to miss this one. People, even without watching video, they have to all follow these directions so easily. So let's post this. So they really respect my idea.
Yeah.
So many photos are here, colorful, you will see.
Right.
And also, I added some Korean word there. So for example, so when my reader said, okay, I'm going to make the Korean kimchi stew, okay, she said the hot pepper flakes, gochugaru. But when they go to Korean grocery store, gochugaru is a, how can I say? But in all written in Korean.
Got it.
So I realized that I should give them the Korean word. And also my publisher accepted that idea, so we did it. And also temple cuisine, I went to Korean temple. I visited Korea like last year. I stayed in the Korean temple.
So this is where your scholar background came in handy.
Yeah, I studied. Yeah.
So you wrote in the book that above all, I want this to be a user-friendly book that will satisfy all your cravings. That about takes care of it. We can like end this right now because we all want user-friendly books that will satisfy all of our cravings.
Mm.
But that sort of addresses the bigness that you're talking about, right?
Yeah, and also from my first book, kind of I just did a soup, stew, kind of a categorized. But this book is that people usually, Korean cookbook, people who buy Korean cookbook is that already they are great cook in different culture. So, Korean barbecue the other night I had. So, okay, Mangchi, this lady has a Korean barbecue, but instead of keep checking that, you know, the cookbook, digging the cookbook. Okay, I go to the chapter, you know, meat chapter, Korean barbecue, boom, coming
right
out. So just that's why I was thinking that for the people who learn Korean cooking with my book instead of watching my video. So mainstream people who don't come to video, so
God,
I wanted to broaden.
To
yeah.
So you also wrote that Korean food embodies generosity, innovation, patience, compassion, frugality, practicality, flexibility, and resourcefulness. That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and I think you're kind of an ambassador for Korean cooking. Like you want the whole world to discover and experience the same excitement you get from cooking and eating Korean food. Is that correct?
Thank you so much for saying that.
but it seems like when I read the books and read all the other stuff and watched your videos, like that's your thing.
Yeah, thank you. Just I show them what I'm doing, you know. Following me or not, that's their option, yeah.
Give us three recipes that someone absolutely has to make that will get them to experiencing Korean food and feel the same way you do about it.
Number one, kimchi.
Kimchi.
Yeah, because for 12 years I'm running my business and the YouTube video, I realized that my readers, they started with a small portion of kimchi. They always ask for, can you make a small batch of kimchi? But these guys now, they make 10 pounds, 20 pounds of kimchi. Why? Not only kimchi is a side dish, but also with the kimchi, they can make kimchi stew, kimchi soup, steamed kimchi, all kinds of side dishes. They add kimchi to even, you know, hamburger and hot dog.
There are many different kinds of kimchi, right? Yeah. Kimchi is not a single dish.
All different regionally, they have their own version of kimchi recipes.
Yeah. There are a number of kimchi recipes in the book, right? Mm-hmm. And which one would you have people start with?
The cabbage kimchi.
Cabbage kimchi
is Napa cabbage, made with Napa cabbages. This is a queen of kimchi.
The queen of kimchi.
Yeah, you have to make one kimchi and keep in the refrigerator, it should be this.
Got it.
You can use a steam, you can use braised kimchi, all kinds of dishes just with that one kimchi. Yeah.
Two more dishes besides kimchi.
I like to say that, you know, for somebody who learned Korean cooking for the first time, and, well, kimchi, too much headache, you know. I can buy. But what else can I have? It's like a pan-fried tofu.
Pan-fried tofu.
Tofu with soy seasoning sauce. So pan-fried tofu is because I have seen that so many people love it. And they said they couldn't believe it. Whenever I do some meetup, New York meetup, L.A. meetup with my readers, they bring the pan-fried tofu with the seasoning, soy seasoning, soy scallion seasoning sauce. And that's always popular. So I thought that some people don't like, you know, kimchi, but everybody loves this dish.
Yeah.
So basically, you slice the tofu. And
it could be tofu that you get in your supermarket?
Yeah, yeah. So any tofu, even these days, the tofu is sold everywhere. You slice this and just pan fry.
Just pan
fry. With some cooking oil. And until golden brown, you know, both sides.
Right.
And that's it. And then seasoning sauce is a chopped scallion and garlic and a little bit sugar, depending on your taste. And just hot pepper flakes. If you don't have hot pepper flakes, skip it. And sesame oil, sesame seeds, and mix it together and drizzle this on top. Boom, boom, boom. Delicious.
That's it. Boom, boom, boom. Delicious. I like it. That's going to be the title of your next book. Boom, boom, boom. Delicious.
Oh, thank you for giving me the name. But I don't want to make a third book. Oh, too much work.
You just feel that way now. Everyone feels that way after they finish book, and then I'm sure Rux Martin will have you write another book. So, third recipe.
Third one is Korean fried chicken.
Korean fried chicken.
Yeah. Korean fried chicken. Everybody loves this.
And what makes Korean fried chicken Korean fried chicken?
It's double fried.
Southern style.
Okay. Double fried.
Double fried.
Yeah. Double fried and very crunchy. If chicken is not crunchy, that's not Korean fried chicken. And also coating. Usually we use a coating sauce depending on who you are, and they want to make a kind of a special version. And I, my sweet crunchy chicken called dakgangjeong, this is I learned from Gyeongsang province. I told you I went to America in Missouri, Columbia in a potluck party with all Korean expats, and the lady from Gyeongsang province, she taught me how to do, because one of the dishes I had there was amazing, so I had to learn. My recipes are like that. I have to learn this thing. So
it's twice fried, so you put it in the wok with the oil.
Yeah.
You fry it once.
Yeah, you need to, you know, batter with some...
Right, you batter it.
Potato starch, First fry around 10 to 12 minutes fry, you know, and then the crunchy, looking very light brown crunchy. And usually people stop cooking, but no, don't deceive.
Because inside is not... So the second fry is what gets it crunchy and brown.
Yeah, crunchy and brown inside, deep inside, even bones are, you know, all cooked thoroughly. And meanwhile, make sauce.
Yeah.
Sauce is, you know, I use soy sauce and also some chili. Dried chili, but dried chili doesn't give us spiciness. It just only give us a flavor, a little bit
and
flavor.
Ketchup? Do you use ketchup sometimes?
Oh, there was a different style,
different
version.
Okay.
So this dakgangjeong is kind of, you know.
So this is from a certain part of South Korea that you were
talking that
about.
Is my number one video view recipe in the world. Like now 1.5 million views.
Wow.
Yeah, and a lot of stories I'm learning from my readers.
Yeah.
They made.
So... what's next, Manchi? Is there like a TV show in your future? Is there going to be like a Manchi cable network? Like, or are you just going to keep on keeping it real on YouTube?
Can you help me?
That'll cost you some consulting money.
Yeah.
No. It's funny about YouTube people. because they usually want to do a television show,
mm-hmm.
but it often doesn't work. It's like there's a certain environment for YouTube that the videos make sense, and it doesn't necessarily convert to a regular television show format.
You are right, because the first most important for me now is my viewers and my readers. These guys love me. They love my recipes. I really appreciate it. I'm so blessed, you know, because every morning I check their comment. And right. comment of almost 99% is good.
So, wow. So you get very few trolls.
Oh, my God. I don't have any troll. You know, I don't
no
have
trolls.
Any trolls. Sometimes like racism is right. okay. Even racism is okay, you know. I'm so much,
okay,
so many people like it.
Yeah.
So those guys are... You know, I love these guys. They really interact all the time. Mm-hmm. And these guys consider me as their, you know, relatives. And me too. So I never seen their face. But
right.
When
and
they,
you won't get that level of connectivity on television.
Yeah. So that's why I like to keep doing whatever I do, unless I'm, you know, as long as I'm conscious.
Right, as long as you're conscious.
And then
well,
I will
good.
Keep doing
I
what
like
I
that.
Do.
So now it's time for the special sauce all-you-can-answer buffet. You can take your time with these answers. So who's at your last supper? No family allowed. Some people have said, you know, President Obama or Michelle
oh,
Obama.
Oh, President Obama.
You want President Obama?
Oh, yeah, I'll be right, so honored.
So, three more people besides President Obama.
President Obama, Michelle Obama.
Okay.
And also the husband.
You can't have your husband.
I'm sorry.
No husbands allowed.
And Rux.
Rux Martin, your editor.
Yeah.
All right, that's good. One
can
more
can you give
person.
Me one more?
Yes. Yeah.
Janice.
What?
Janice, my agent.
Janice, your agent. Mm. This
I told you.
This is too insular, man. We need to go
can
beyond your agent.
Can I do one more? The president of YouTube.
The president of YouTube?
I'm a very loyal person, by the way, so I never forget.
But what about like Jean-Paul Sartre or Rembrandt or any of those people?
And I don't know much about, you know. Some people really directly influenced to my life, you
yeah.
know. So I
Got
like
it.
To be, you know, I like
All right.
to have some.
That's good. So what are you eating?
I'm eating Korean meal.
That's not a surprise.
Yeah.
So would you be eating like a pancake and some Korean fried chicken and some kimchi?
Kimchi is always in my refrigerator.
Okay.
If before kimchi runs out, I gotta make new batches of kimchi. Otherwise, I feel so uncomfortable.
Okay.
Even I cannot come here comfortably. Oh, I gotta make kimchi. But anyway, kimchi and maybe today I'm going to make noodle soup. So noodle soup because
okay.
I have a delicious anchovy kelp stock in my refrigerator. I will just boil my thin wheat noodles and I will chop some my kimchi. Well, for
so
me.
So it have kimchi, noodles, anchovy kelp, did you say?
Anchovy kelp stock.
Got it.
So today is a little chilly. So I
yeah.
feel like some Korean noodles.
All right. That's
then,
good.
And then just I will make it chewy noodles and pour the hot, delicious, you know, savory stock on top. And then chop the kimchi, mix with hot pepper paste and green chili, green onion and sesame oil. And then mix together on top.
God, it sounds
oh,
delicious.
Oh, my God, so delicious. Let's go together to my house.
and who? I'm ready. So, anything for dessert? Anything for dessert?
Dessert is every morning I eat a green smoothie. So, and just I don't worry about too much like vitamin things.
Got it.
But I usually eat fresh, like these days I love the peach.
Peach,
yeah.
Just a perfect peach.
Yeah, and delicious.
I'd like a perfect peach,
yeah,
too.
And also sometimes I eat cheese, by the way.
Cheese?
Yeah, cheese, kind of creamy, you know, brie cheese and smelly
yeah.
cheese. I love the cheese. And mostly fruit.
What do you cook when there's nothing in the house to eat?
Again, I got to go back to my kimchi, right? I told you. I make rice, you know,
okay.
rice, white fluffy rice.
Okay.
And then 김, Kim is Korean seaweed paper, black okay. seaweed paper, always for freezer, in the freezer.
Got it.
And then I take it just, you know, the toast on the stove, gas stove, and crunch, make it crunchy and a little bit green color and smell so good. And then I put my warm rice or the spread
that
the rice.
Really good, man.
And kimchi, my kimchi, you know, chop yeah. it up. And then put the kimchi over there and sesame oil, one drizzle, and sesame seed, sprinkle, and then roll it up. And then just as a bar, I eat it if I'm busy.
So I forgot to ask you at your Last Supper of the, all these Korean specialties with the Obamas and Rux Martin and your agent and the president of YouTube. What are you listening to?
I love all kinds of jazz music.
Jazz?
Yeah, jazz music.
Like Charlie Parker, Count Basie, John Coltrane, Miles Davis.
Actually, I don't know exactly the certain name, but I have my Google. I just play the jazz music.
Oh, you just tell.
What is it? This Google Home. I have a Google
Home. It's a smart speaker. You just say play jazz.
Yeah, jazz.
And you're good.
Also piano, you know, jazz music. I
Got
love it.
It.
And then just keep listening. Yeah, that's it.
So it's just been declared Manchi Day all over the world. What's happening on that day?
That means that I'm so popular.
What?
I'm so popular.
Yeah, you're so popular. Well, actually, you know, it's possible that it could be declared Manchi Day all over the world. But what would be happening on that day?
Probably I would still making recipes.
You'd be cooking for the world.
Yeah, I mean, as long as people love my recipes, I'll keep making and then make them eat my food and share my food too with their family.
And so would everybody else just be waiting for you to finish cooking, or would they be cooking too?
Yeah, they will cook and they share their food with their family and friends. And
Got
so
it.
Everybody's happy thanks to the food, you know?
Yeah, I love it. Mm. Thank you so much for sharing your special sauce with us, Manchi.
Thank you.
So do check out Manchi's Big Book of Korean Cooking and join the millions of curious folks who have fallen in love with Manchi and her food, who watch her YouTube videos. And again, Manchi, thank you for gracing us with your presence.
Thank you so much.
Now it's time to head over to Serious Eats Test Kitchen to discover what our managing culinary director, Daniel Gritzer, is cooking up. No need to take notes. Details of Daniel's recipe are at SeriousEats.com.
A lot goes into making a perfect French omelet. That's why French chefs used to ask prospective cooks to make one as a test, since an omelet alone can reveal a cook's real worth. You can master this skill. Here's how. Start with the right gear. You need a pan in absolutely perfect condition. In old French kitchens, that'd be a carbon steel skillet. But today, nonstick works great. For a 3-egg omelet, an 8-inch skillet is what you need. A scratched or damaged skillet is not gonna work here, because the eggs are gonna stick and ruin your omelet. You'll also need a fork. You can use a metal one, but a plastic fork will be more gentle on your nonstick skillet surface. Beat 3 eggs with salt just until no traces of whites remain. A lot of people say not to add the salt until the last minute, but they're wrong. Adding it in advance helps keep the eggs tender. Melt a pat of butter until foamy but not browned. In the most classic method, you do this all over high heat. But until you've mastered the technique, moderate heat is the way to go. Now add the eggs and begin stirring rapidly with a fork, making sure its tines are pointing up. Quickly work the fork all over the skillet in rapid circles while shaking the pan with the other hand. The more you agitate the eggs, the more you'll get tiny curds that are custardy and creamy, not big and fluffy. Pull any wispy edges back into the eggs as you go. You want to stop scrambling right when the eggs are custardy and nearly set, but not so cooked that they break apart into actual scrambled eggs. Give them another few seconds over the heat, then lift the skillet using an underhand grip on the handle and roll the omelet down over itself. If the eggs are still a little loose, you can hover them over the heat like this for a few extra seconds to help set them more. Now use the fork to gently lift the bottom lip of the omelet, sealing it shut. Roll the omelet out onto a plate, adjusting it so that the seam is on the bottom. If you want, you can use a clean towel to fix the omelet's form a little more. The ideal shape is sometimes described as cigar or almond-like, meaning wider in the middle and then evenly tapering at each end. If you did it well, the omelet will have a smooth exterior with little to no browning at all. and a creamy flowing center of very softly scrambled eggs.
Our managing culinary director, Daniel Gritzer. Again, the details of this recipe are at SeriousEats.com. And that's our program for this week. Next time, Kenji will return to answer your question of the week with his usual scientific precision. And back to culinary school, also known as Serious Eats Test Kitchen. And as always, a conversation with our special guest. I'm Ed Levine. So long, Serious Eaters. We'll see you next time.